that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like.
X-Go, give it to you.
How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Beosonic sound experience. That's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it?
X-Go, give it to you.
Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S.
Give up.
Order now at Acura.com.
Dogs are an important part of our lives. That means protecting them from parasites. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus, a Foxolaner, Moxidectin, and Pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're delicious and easy to give. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive. Ask about NexGard Plus chews.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with Privacy Mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is. Drawing Board or...
Miro. All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is April 11th. And yes, we are going to talk about baseball. If you don't know this, I'm going to be putting out a free episode tomorrow of the SP Fab Forecast. It is a weekly episode where I outline my sit and start for all of next week. It comes with an image of labeling every single start. It also has my two start rankings by tier. In addition, I go over all 12 team and 15 Fab decisions. That is, I look at OCs and main events, and I say, great, these are the guys you are looking at. These are the general ranges of dollar values that I would spend on them for Fab on Sunday. This is normally a PL Pro exclusive podcast. However, tomorrow's, which will come out in the afternoon on Friday, the 12th, will be available in your Pitcher List Fantasy Baseball feed. It is absolutely free, so you guys can get a taste of what you're missing out every single week. So look forward to that one, and hopefully we'll see you inside of the PL Pro Discord. Looking at yesterday's games, we have Jordan Hicks, 6 innings, 1 earned run, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 2 Ks. And I led with him just to showcase, look, this is kind of working. Yes, it was against the Nationals. It's also a start where Jordan Hicks once again pummeled sinkers inside the zone for strikes. It works. I wish his sweeper was a little bit better. I wish his splitter was a little bit better. But as long as that sinker still earns outs, which it does, yeah, that is going to be kind of cool for Jordan Hicks. So I dig it. I'm cool with this. I would be holding on to Jordan Hicks moving forward. He gets the Marlins next week. Cody Bradford is killing it. He went against Oakland, and we expected this to be a good one as he performed against two tough offenses before. This was finally his nice, easy game. 6.2 innings of 0 earned runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 7 strikeouts. 17 whiffs, 36% CSW for the golden goal. So here's the thing. A lot of people were saying, well, yeah, Cody Bradford, he's not going to stay in the rotation. You have Michael Lorenz in there. Why would the Rangers remove him? That's 3 amazing outings. You have this value. You are not removing Cody Bradford. You just aren't doing it. So then what happens? Maybe it's Andrew Heaney that gets the oust. Maybe it's a 6-man. Maybe they just wait with Lorenz a little bit longer. I don't know. But I would imagine Cody Bradford does get the Tigers next week, and I'm absolutely going to Vargas rule this and hold for that start. Dylan Cease went against the Cubs, got the win. And if you guys remember this, I've been saying, oh my gosh, I am hoping that Dylan Cease goes to San Diego and starts throwing a cutter. Well, he went 6 innings, 0 earned runs, 2 hits, 2 walks, and 7 Ks. And he threw a cutter. I think he threw like 3. I looked at Savant and I noticed that his slider was on average about 87 miles per hour. However, he threw 3 of these pitches that were 90 and above. One was 92 and clearly it was like Musgrove's cutter that came down into the zone up and in. It was beautiful. And I really, really hope that Cease leans into this more. Yesterday was not a game where he actually really needed it. When Cease needs the cutter is when the four seamer is not well spotted. He's not getting enough strikes on the slider. And all of a sudden he doesn't want to throw a four seamer for a strike in the zone. And he doesn't know what to do. The cutter is that pitch. It becomes hopefully this 15% usage pitch that he throws to both lefties and to righties. Oh man, I think over time we start to see creep in a little bit more. Really fun to see it yesterday. I'm so excited about it. But yeah, that's really cool. And I was really tempted to like send out a trade offer for Dylan Cease today, but didn't do it. I mean, you're not going to really get him right now. Okay, Cutter Crawford against the Orioles, 5 innings, 0 earned runs, 2 hits, 4 walks, 6 Ks. Once again, Cutter Crawford kind of slowed down a little bit with that command as the game went on. If you remember the last one, he really struggled at the end against the Angels. I had this as a sit for the podcast with Spore, that is the Fireside Chat that comes out Wednesday mornings, and we record that on Tuesday afternoons. I had it as a cautious sit because it was Baltimore. Sorry, not Baltimore, it's the Orioles. It's in Fenway where Cutter Crawford has notoriously performed poorly. And of course, he had that nervousness against the Angels. He got out of this one. And I'm so thrilled about it. I kind of hate that we do that. We're going to keep doing it. But I hate rooting in any way for negativity. I'm saying this guy's not going to be good. I'm over 2. And honestly, I'm so thrilled to be over 2 with that. I'm bad at the bad stuff. I'm good at the good stuff, right? Okay. So Cutter Crawford, awesome for this. He's barely throwing the four seamer. It's like 21% usage, I want to say. Something like this. Yeah, 21%. That's really cool. I think there is still some refinement to be had with Cutter Crawford about what pitches can he really trust in the zone at certain times. And if he is going more breaking stuff, you know, there is a conversation to be had about how many strikes can you get with said breaking stuff. It is often why guys in the past would throw 50% plus fastballs, because those would be pitches you could throw strikes with, while your secondary offerings are more like 60% strike rates and like the 65 to 70% of your fastball. So as the Red Sox do this, we saw this with Crawford, we saw this with Whitlock too, which by the way, I gotta say, playback chat, you reminded me of Whifflock as a proper name for him, and we might actually have a shirt soon for Garrett Whitlock, but we'll talk about that later. You have the whole thing with the Red Sox not throwing as many fastballs. I wonder if their efficiency might go down with Cutter Crawford and with Whitlock. We haven't seen it with Hauk yet. And with Hauk, honestly, I think the sinker is still going to be somewhat predominant. Same thing with Brian Bayo. And we'll see what happens to Pivetta. He's hurt right now. But with Cutter Crawford and Garrett Whitlock, I'm very, very curious if we're going to be able to see them go consistently 6 innings if they are throwing so many secondaries. They just need to throw them for strikes more. You have Lance Lynn going against the Phillies. And in this game, if you didn't listen to The Craft yet with me and Eno, Eno had a really good focus of topic. That is, it was at that moment as we recorded at 3 p.m. on Wednesday on Eastern time that the Phillies and Cardinals were going. And it was rainy and disgusting. And both of them had lowered velocities. And we had this whole conversation about how weather impacts starting pitchers and hitters as well. It's a fun conversation. Definitely go check that out. So this game, Lance Lynn and Aaron Nola both were lower in velocity. So I'm surprised he did well. 5 innings of 0 runs. That's nice. But really, this whole thing is weird. I guess we're okay against the Athletics, but I don't really want to do that. And for Aaron Nola, it was 200 runs in 6 innings. Velocity was down like 3 ticks. But honestly, as I mentioned inside that episode of The Craft, yeah, you never really know how pitchers are going to perform in the weather. You don't know if you're going to have a good footing. You don't know if you have a good grip on the ball. The whole thing, do not judge a pitcher when it's rainy and cold. Okay? Awesome. Ryan Weathers against the Yankees, 5 innings, 0 earned runs, 3 hits, 3 walks, and just 1 strikeout. His sweeper, 5 over 15 strikes. changeup, 5 over 11 strikes. If you're doing quick maths, those are both under 50%. Yeah, he still made this work somehow. He got outs with the four-seamer. That's nice. Just 2 whiffs on it. That's an under 4% swing strike rate yesterday. Yeah, how am I supposed to butter my bread with this? I don't really want to go with Weathers at the moment. Logan Gilbert against the Jays. 7.2 innings, 1 earned run, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 8 strikeouts. His only run here was a hanging slider to Vladdy, who just absolutely trucked one to left center field. It was a tank. Oh my gosh. It was beautiful. 9 over 35 whiffs on that slider, too. Sure, you had that hanger, whatever. Splitter, 33% strike rate, whatever. They were whiffs, I believe, but that's not that great. The cutter is getting strikes in the zone, which is good. The four-seamer, man, I mean, I'm obviously we're rostering Logan Gilbert and everything like that. In the preseason, I think I had him eventually like 28 by the end of it, and he's creeping up with more guys going down and some guys looking bad. And Gilbert isn't looking bad. He's still not, to me, looking like the refined ace. And this is a line that obviously looks like an ace and everything. And I could be just so, so wrong on this. And I totally would love to have egg on my face here about Logan Gilbert. Like, that would just make me so happy. What I do see is a four-seamer that still isn't overwhelming batters. He's not bullying guys with this. The new cutter might be the big difference maker, as he might pull away from more fastballs, throwing more of these sliders that were really good in the second half last year. And Logan Gilbert with that strike pitch now in that cutter could be the big difference maker really for him. Cutter, slider, and then surprise four seamers. And then because he has amazing extension, he can kind of get away with some of those, but he's still not getting the whiffs on it. So it's all very, very interesting to me. And I am so curious if this really holds up. I don't think so at the moment. I think he is a little bit of a sell high, but I'm loving that he's succeeding. I mean, this is great. He didn't succeed last time, I don't think, but this was way, way better. This looks like a proper ace. 15 whiffs and 34 CSW as well for Logan Gilbert. We have other guys to talk about, some that are a little disappointing, some that are looking great. We're going to talk about all of that and tomorrow's starters. And of course, today, there's very limited today after this break.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of 1. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with privacy mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course, present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again. Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is. Drawing board or...
Miro. All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro brainstorms. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Yusei Kikuchi, 6 innings, 1 earned run, 3 hits, no walks, and 9 strikeouts. This is lovely to see against the Mariners, and this is a second straight start where Kikuchi said, yeah, that new changeup, no, I'm good. I'm going to go back to the thing that worked in the second half last year. That's way better. Yeah, I'm super happy about it. Fastball slider curve looks great. I'm so in on Kikuchi at the moment, especially with those matchups. He gets the Yankees next. I think I'm going to do it. I think this is a much better Kikuchi. Zach Littell against the Angels, 4.1 innings of 1 earned run, 6 hits, 3 walks, and 4 strikeouts. Zach Littell, it's interesting. I saw a comment about, I said that he doesn't have very good command, but like, no, his walk rate is down. Nope, not the same thing. There are guys that can just throw it in the zone and whatever, but that is not it. This was a game, I should have showed the strike zone plot in the blurb, and I was tempted to do it. I was just lazy. I call it, I don't actually know what to call it. I call it like the island, where it's literally just in the middle of the zone is everything. And then everything in the zone that it's on the edge that you actually want is just empty. So that's the water around the island. And then you have the mainland of all the pitches that are pretty much out of the zone. So this one, you have three walks because all those pitches were out of the zone. And then all the hits, because everything that was in the zone was down the middle. It was bad. Like, Zach Littell did not look good in this game. And I do wonder if, like, yeah, maybe that is the command is a major liability. I will say the first start of the year was interesting with that slider. The second one was worse. And this is more of a confirmation of that for me. I guess it's more of a suggestion than an exception, but I don't consider Zach Littell a command guy, right? I don't think like, oh no, you are a one or two on the scale of 1 to 5 when it comes to the command. 3 is it, which is like, okay, it's going to be bad sometimes. It's going to be good sometimes. I don't really know what we're going to get. And considering this stuff isn't great for Littell, it is a very, very hittable four-seamer. He is so reliant on his slider just not being right in the middle of the zone and being perfectly spotted and getting all the strikes and all that kind of stuff with it. Oh man. Yeah, it's worrisome for me. I know some people are really in on Zach Littell. I am not, clearly. So this was also against the Angels, and I think that's why it was only one earned run in 4.1 innings, but 9 base runners, 6 hits, 3 walks, 4 Ks, 15% CSW. I mean, oh. Okay, Wade Miley at Cincinnati. He returned from the IL. Welcome, buddy. 4 innings, 1 earned run, 1 hit, 2 walks, and 0 strikeouts. It's Wade Miley! We have cutters inside to right handers and changeups away. I mean, yeah, this is him. He's going to probably go like 80 pitches against the Cardinals. If you are desperate for quality starts, you got to wait another start probably. But honestly, this was 52 pitches for 4 innings, so it's possible he does 80 pitches and gets a quality start against the Cardinals. It is not a strikeout play, and you also are not going to get that much on the ratio side, but yeah, he's not so bad. Austin Gomber, he did well in cores against the Diamondbacks, but yeah, we're not going to say that this is going to stick around, sorry. Seth Lugo against the Astros did everything you could hope for, really getting a win in 2 earned runs in 6 innings. He's a Toby. He gets a White Sox next. That's cool. You have Tommy Henry at cores. Honestly, like, he had a really good game before, and this was 8 whiffs and 22% CSW. The Rockies are still kind of streamable in cores, but yeah, Tommy Henry, I'm sorry, you had that really nice start of just absurdly good command, and you're not going to repeat that, and you didn't really hear. Chris Paddock against the Dodgers, yeah, he's throwing a little bit harder, and maybe it's good enough, but like, I don't feel like he's that appealing. I don't think he does enough that is interesting, and I guess he's like a Toby at best, a streamer, really. Bobby Miller got singled out a bit. 4 innings, 2 earned runs, 5 hits, 3 walks, 4 Ks. I'm a little frustrated with Bobby Miller at the moment. His 4-seamer is more of a scatter shot, and I don't know if that's actually like bad command. He just doesn't look like a guy that is... I'm not seeing the high mitt a ton with Bobby Miller. I want to see that. It's so much better upstairs, Bobby. Like, your fastball is made to do this. Meanwhile, your slider... and it is just not the pitch I want it to be. It was more of a whiff pitch last year, but he wasn't able to get it in the zone. So this year, he's tightened it up to be more like a cutter to try and get more in the zone, which can be fine with me, but then you don't have the whiff pitch. I mean, I guess it's the curve and the change. But this was 54% slider strikes, and let's be honest, that slider had an absurdly good stuff metric. Like, it was Stuff Plus loved it, PLV loved it. What the heck? You are so close, Bobby Miller. You showcased it in your first game. It's just a little annoying. You also have a home run on the first batter of the game on a fastball away that went Apo Taco, Edward Julian. That's lovely for him, but not for Bobby Miller. And it kind of put a damper on this, as he was just always kind of fighting out of trouble. He did get singled out, though, at times. Like, okay. Eric Fede against the Guardians. 5 innings, 4 earned runs, 4 hits, 3 walks, and 3 Ks. Womp, womp. He's a Toby, and honestly, the Guardians are pretty decent right now. I'd say they're acting like a tier 2, so they're solid, right? As a team you don't want to go for. But really, they're going to settle to be like a middling tier 3 out of 5. You have Marcus Stroman against the Marlins. 5 innings of 4 runs, 4 hits, 4 walks, and 7 Ks. Ugh. You know, not fun at all. I'm surprised that he turned away from the cutter. It was still good in this few, 6 that he threw, 5 for strikes. Like, why not? That was really good. The other starts. What the heck? I don't know. Kind of weird. He gets the Jays next. I'm still just going to do it. Marcus Stroman is one you just kind of do this and you don't really think about it start by start. Like, you just kind of do. He's kind of like Barrios in this way. Jose Soriano showed up and I'm kind of excited. He had this first inning against the Rays. That was wild. Bases loaded, threw a wild pitch that scored two, not one, two, because the catcher couldn't find it. And then a sac fly, because it was bases loaded, so the guy from first went to third, sac fly. And that was 300 runs in the first, allowed a solo shot the next inning to Caballero. I believe that's his name. And that was it. Like, he settled down after that more. He has an actual sinker that has legitimate drop to it, throws it hard still, even as a starter. And then he has a slider and curve that each return to 40% plus CSW, and they combine for about 50% usage. That is kind of cool. And he's going to get the Rays again next Tuesday. I think that's going to be more than 72 pitches. This was 4 innings, 4 earned runs, 6 hits, 0 walks, and 6 Ks. Now I might actually be circling that as, hey, I might pick that up in my leagues. Something very, very intriguing there with Jose Soriano. Cole Irvin against the Red Sox in Fenway. He had moments where he had these fantastic sinkers inside to lefties, like to Rafael Devers. He had one that was around 95, but then it settled down 93, and we don't want to do his 5 earned runs in 5 innings. You can move on from Cole Irvin. Maybe he becomes a Vargas role at some point, but not now whatsoever. Tanner Bibee against the White Sox, very disappointing. 4.1 innings of 5 earned runs. It's the White Sox. 6 hits, 3 walks, 2 Ks. They don't have any. Moncada's on the IL. Robert's on the IL. Eloy Jimenez is on the IL. What's going on? Bibee went 54% four-seamer, 1-for-45 whiffs with a 20% CSW. This is a four-seamer that I don't really understand. He went more arm side with it in this one, and he's been going like the stay verde thing, right? Like, he stay elevated with it, but honestly, it's a four-seamer that works best low because it's very steep, and you should go low with it. And at least he's going, like, instead of 180 difference, he's gone 90. So he's tilted it one way, just got tilted again, I guess. I don't know. But I don't like that four-seamer. And then he decided to not go with his changeup, just 5 thrown? Like, maybe he just didn't feel it at all, but he went slider curve instead. But changeup's supposed to be really good. I mean, that's, I think, like, the changeup and slider are really the two things, not the curveball. So I don't know. This was weird. I can't believe that the changeup is actually getting shelved. He went too many four-seamers. It's your worst pitch. I don't get it. I'm going to ignore this one. This is just a weird, weird game. He also allowed a run in the first inning where it was silly. They tagged the guy going from first to second and let the guy from third score. You know, if he actually had gone home, which they could have, then he would have stopped that run. And yeah, they tagged him after he scored, so that was another run in the books against Bibee. It's just stuff like that. It's like, oh, just ignore this, I think. Hunter Green, he's a hipster. 9 strikeouts, 1 walk, hey! 6 earned runs, 6 hits in 6 innings against the Brewers. And that's just kind of like what you signed up for Hunter Green. I wanted so badly to be like, no, Nick, you were wrong, and that's great. Because Hunter Green, no. This is what you're going to deal with. You know this. Ross Stripling against the Rangers didn't do well because, yeah, it's Ross Stripling against the Rangers. Patrick Corbin, this is hilarious. If you remember me with Patrick Corbin, it was, hey, man, you should throw more cutters, right? Because the cutter is this new thing that might fix everything. And what? You only threw like 5 of them? Oh, man. Dude, throw more cutters. So I said that in the roundup in the podcast last time. So Patrick Corbin says, all right, you know what, Nick? Fine. You want more cutters? Throw more cutters. So he threw 31 of them. But then he didn't throw a slider. Patrick, if you're listening, if you actually are following this, thank you. Amazing. Just DM me next time because to clarify what's going on, I don't want you to throw the sinker. I think the sinker is the bad pitch, not the slider. The slider is the thing, your moneymaker. Don't stop throwing that one. Throw the cutter to replace more sinkers. That's what I think. So this was wild. 11 hits, 7 earned runs, 5.2 innings against the Giants. I mean, I honestly, obviously don't think that Corbin is following what I say here. It is kind of cool that he did try it some more. So do that. Just bear it with the slider and then save the sinker for just lefties. I think you should be cutter, slider against righties, sinker, slider against lefties. That's what I think you should do. Kyle Hendricks against the Padres, 5 innings, 7 earned runs, 9 hits because it's Kyle Hendricks. And I wonder how long the Cubs allow Hendricks to continue. It is it is pretty obvious that Hendricks just doesn't have it anymore, guys. And Cade Horton is there. Ben Brown looks like he's going to stay in that rotation. So when Tyone shows up, you have Ben Brown, you have Jordan Wicks, you have Jameson Tyone, you have Justin Steele eventually returning. So what do we do here? Kyle Hendricks, are you just kind of hanging out? I feel like there's another starter I am forgetting at this moment for the Cubs. But yeah, it feels like Cade Horton, Tyone, Wicks, Ben Brown, Steele is... Oh, and Imanaga. Oh my gosh, how could I? But Hendricks is like clearly the one that should be on the outs there, right? I feel like it should. Okay. And then there's Spencer Arrighetti. And I got to say, I got a comment on Reddit. I'm not going to say your name because unfortunately I don't want to say that name. You know who you are. Who asked me to call Spencer Arrighetti the pasta pirate. And that's amazing. So he is now the pasta pirate, Arrighetti. And 3 innings, 7 earned runs, 7 hits, 3 walks, 3 Ks. So he's not really going to be here for long. He might get the next start against Atlanta before Justin Verlander is ready and then he moves on. But that is it. So yeah, Arrighetti, maybe later as a streamer, because you are on the Astros and you're not this bad. It's just you're really not that good with your four-seamer, so it's more secondary stuff, and that secondary stuff isn't killing it, then yeah, this is what's going to happen. All right, looking forward to today and tomorrow's game. I'm going to say today because we have rainouts, and you should know this. Pablo Lopez versus Tarek Skubal, canceled. Who wants fun baseball? Nobody! I'm the rain. The rain doesn't want it. You have also Freddy Peralta and Nick Martinez also rained out there. That is the Brewers and the Reds, as of course with the Tigers and the Twins. You also have Max Fried game pushed back because of the game yesterday, so they can give him extra day of rest, and now it's Alan Winans going instead. So it's kind of nice that Atlanta's like, you know what, we're just going to give 2 days off now. This is kind of nice. Alan Winans is coming up instead. So today's ranks are now going to be Grayson Rodriguez as the sole auto start. Then probable starts are Jared Jones, Ranger Suarez, John Gray, Garrett Whiflock, and Hunter Brown. Questionable start is Brady Singer against the Astros. And then the do not start, it's actually going to be Alan Winans as the streaming pick against the Mets. I prefer that over JP Sears at Texas because Winans did throw 5.2 innings in the minors, so he is stretched out enough to go at least 5, and that should be a solid win against Jose Quintana, who's underneath JP Sears. All right, looking at tomorrow's games, well, of course, we have Pablo Lopez and Tarek Skubal going tomorrow, so that's going to be fun. You also have, by the way, on Saturday, Matt Manning coming up to start in that doubleheader. So you're going to see another one there against the Twins. I don't know if I love that. It's probably going to be at the bottom of probable or the top of questionable. I haven't decided quite yet, but not a huge fan of that because he didn't really impress us in the other one without the 95 mile per hour velocity. He's not quite there, Matt Manning. And he didn't prove it last time, right? He didn't showcase it because, oh man, I am dope. See how dope I am? Like, he survived. It was fine, but yeah, it's not quite there. So I'm not quite in favor of that one. But anyway, for tomorrow's games specifically, Pablo Lopez, Tarek Skubal, Kevin Gausman, it's rocky road in Toronto. So like, whatever, all the fears you have about the velocity just doesn't matter. Freddy Peralta is going against the Orioles. Has looked too good. Max Fried gets the Marlins. We're going with that. Don't, it's extra rest. He's not cooked. All that stuff. Yoshinobu and Yamamoto against the Padres. We're obviously doing that. Tanner Houck gets the Angels. I'm down. And so does Michael Wacha against the Mets. Like, that is such a lovely matchup. I'm making that an auto start. I just think he's doing too well, and how can you deny him that? Probable starts here. I don't know if I'm too high here on Bryce Miller or not. The problem is I don't feel so good about really any of them as locks. I'm somewhat wish casting some of it, but I just feel like if you have these guys, you're doing it. And Bryce Miller, I'm like, okay, you know what? You are the one that we think that eventually is going to be the best arm here. So you get the Cubs. We're going to go with that. Christopher Sanchez looked a little shaky last time against the Pirates. Sorry, he gets the Pirates now. He looked a little shaky last time, but we're going to go with it. Brandon Pfaadt, I'm not a huge fan. I love the sweeper. I don't know how good that fastball is going to be against St. Louis, but he's here. Paul Blackburn is our stream pick of the day. It's the Nationals. We're just going to roll with that. Jordan Hicks has a new four-seamer that gets whiffs now. I love that, pairing that with a really good changeup. He gets the Mariners, much better matchup than the Dodgers. I would heavily be considering that for my leagues. You have Reed Detmers getting the Red Sox in Fenway. I'm so conflicted because Reed Detmers is obviously pitching better than Wicks is, but it's a much worse matchup here for Detmers. So I hope everything is going well, but the four-seamer is way better. with that induced vertical break, essentially the four seam is just much better at the top of the zone this year than it was in previous years, which is making him a more complete pitcher than he was. Now, just get that slider working much better. That'd be great. Michael King is also going against the Dodgers. If I have him, I am starting him. His command was so much better. Don't look at the last two starts and go, oh, well, I don't know if King is going to be the one that walks seven or not. No, he's the one who does not walk seven. He fixed that one. He noted that he wasn't going through his checkpoints of, hey, I'm not commanding right now. What are the problems? He figured it out. We saw it last start. He's there. He's good. I'm starting him against the Dodgers. Clark Schmidt against the Guardians. The Guardians have been hot, and maybe I'm too high here on Clark Schmidt. I see Clark Schmidt as someone who's a Toby and has a pretty solid floor with a winning ball club as well, especially with Carrasco on the other side. So I'm still going to go for that one. Same with Tyler Wells against the Brewers. Tyler Wells, to me, is good enough in Baltimore. And even though it's the Brewers, it's not in Miller Park, and they're not that scary, so I'm going to go with that. My question will start here. You have JP France versus Dane Dunning. Take your pick. I'm going to lean with France as I just like him a little bit more from the skill standpoint. They both have tough opponents. They both have the ability to go six innings. They both have a chance to earn a win. So take your pick if you want to go for one of those things. There's also Nick Martinez going into Chicago for the White Sox. So that's a really good matchup. Unfortunately, Nick Martinez isn't really in a place that I would trust his skills at the moment. But if he is going 40% plus changeup and working in enough strikes with curveballs or cutters, then this could go very well against a very bad offense, who has surprised us a little bit lately, but no. We're not actually going to say that they're good. In the do not start realm, we have Steven Matz, Tyler Alexander, Ryan Feltner. These are all interesting. Matz gets the Diamondbacks. I could put him in the other tier, but he doesn't have the same backing as France and Dunning on the offensive side. And the Arizona Diamondbacks, I think also, yeah, that's a tough offense. Steven Matz isn't so good, but he's fine. I could see either way here. If you are chasing a quality start, maybe go for it, but I don't really want to. Tyler Alexander has shown some promise. Is he going to have an opener? If not, is he going to go full five? It's against the Giants. I don't really want to do it. Ryan Feltner is maybe the highest upside of this tier, as he does have a slider now that can get whiffs and a four-seamer that is better than your average four-seamer. It's not amazing, but it has all of the attributes are above average, but just not elite. So when it comes to like extension and IBB and flatness and velocity, all that stuff. But against the Jays, who are also a volatile offense, it can be really hot or really cold. It's an interesting one. If you're really desperate for something, like that might be the one you circle. Jake Irvin gets the Athletics. That seems like a good thing because it's Athletics and Jake Irvin's allowed to go six innings, but do you want to actually have Jake Irvin pitching six innings? That's a good question. Luis Severino. Yeah, I know the four-seamer sometimes gets whiffs, but man, the secondary stuff is so weak, and the Royals are kind of decent as an offense. Be careful with Luis Severino. He relies heavily on four-seamer location, and I don't know if I really trust that repeating for this one. Keaton Wynn does throw decently hard, and he has a splitter that can work. Ugh. I just don't want to trust it against the Rays. The Rays is not the worst matchup, but it's not for me. Trevor Rogers, I'm interested long-term. I'm curious to see if he can develop and become that guy while Weathers and Puck are probably the ones who are out. But this is against Atlanta, so I don't like that. Bailey Falter can show up if he has those four-seamers upstairs and actually leans into things I think the Rays would teach him. Which is why I said the Rays would be the guys who would trade for Bailey Falter. But he did it last time. He actually leaned into the four-seamer and did this in a smaller, I think it was a rainout. It was kind of interesting, but it's against the Phillies. I'm just not going to do that. Carlos Carrasco's velocity is way down. Everything is worse, and it's against the Yankees. He does have a chance for six, but no thank you. And last but not least, Chris Flexen. Never Chris Flexen. Really, just don't do that. I know it's the Reds not in Cincy, but no, you don't want to do Chris Flexen. All right, that is it for today. I know, so short at 30 minutes long. Remember, tomorrow we have a free podcast of the SP Fab Forecast for those who do not have PL Pro to listen to it in the future. It is a PL Pro exclusive. It's the best way to support the site. We have some amazing things that we're doing right now. And thank you all so much for getting PL Pro Lifetime, which I have to mention, we are closing that tomorrow. That tomorrow is the last day that you can get PL Pro Lifetime. So if you're interested in getting that, we are closing its doors. We don't know when we're going to bring that back. It might be not for a long time. So if you want to get in, now is your chance. Go to pitchless.com/lifetime. to sign up for PL Pro and not have to pay another cent to get all the perks of Pitcherlist forever. You also get a hoodie that is a Pitcherlist Hall of Famer. So consider getting that. We are closing its doors indefinitely tomorrow. That is it for today. My name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.